All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Thrones. Matt Datz, Tim Curry here, back in studio. Curry, welcome back, man.
It's good to be back. Good to have you back here in Jersey.
Right? Back in the studio here in southern New Jersey, feeling good. Early midweek pod for us here. We want to do some deep dive analysis into Sunday night's episode. Examine a lot more of what happened and the biggest takeaways and what we see, the implications from exactly what happened Sunday night. And then we'll release the preview pod later in the week for everyone to check out going into episode 5. Only 2 left. So this was 4 coming off the heels of a huge, maybe, you know, a lot of people are saying best episode of the series, you know, definitely the longest episode of the series, but off the heels of a huge end of a storyline with the Night King. We thought table setter, and then we got a little bit more. We talked about that Sunday night, but we want to do some more analysis into exactly what we saw. So, Curry, where should we start here?
So let's just start with our polls, our yes. immediate reaction polls and our GOAT and WOAT polls that we look to our followers, our listener feedback for. So,
for who had the best episode, who had the worst episode?
Yes. So our GOAT of the week, who had the best episode? We had about 500 votes. We're doing it a little earlier in the week than usual, so yes, usually sir. We have a little more. But we had right around 500 votes, and at the moment, Cersei Lannister is in the head by a decent margin. She's at 43%, followed by Euron Greyjoy at 24, Jon Snow 21, and lastly, Ser Bronn at 12. So Cersei, obvious solid answer for GOAT.
Yes.
She had a very strong episode.
After an absence.
Yeah, after not appearing in the previous episode and not really doing too much so far this season. She was kind of on the sidelines letting things play out, but she made some major plays this episode.
Absolutely.
And one of them was at her command, Euron's fleet killed a dragon. She also planted the seed, if you will, of Euron's child. You know, it's allegedly Jaime's child, and she's telling Euron it's his, so she's using that as a political play. So it was a strong episode for Cersei, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, and she gets Missandei.
And yes, at the end, kills Missandei. She is she's not messing around.
No, yeah, and the other, you know, one big thing for her, the politicals, you know, and that's kind of her game is this mind game a little bit. But we saw it, and you might have missed it if you weren't. But they've planted this usurper seed in the, you know, not to double seed it, but in the minds of the common man of King's Landing. She's making that political play that the usurper's coming. We're protecting you.
Yeah,
come on in.
She's invited the commoners, the public, inside the walls of the Red Keep to protect them. But also it protects her because now if Daenerys and her army and her dragon want to take King's Landing, they're going to have to go through
innocent
millions, hundreds of thousands, probably millions of innocent people to get to Cersei.
Exactly. So she's making maneuvers all over the place. We've said it time and time again, don't count out Cersei.
Can't underestimate her.
Don't discount her. You know, she's here for a reason. She has been on this throne for the whole series, you know? She's been power.
As Sansa said earlier in the season, in the series, everyone that's ever crossed Cersei has been destroyed by her.
Literally.
So
you know, a lot of people are thinking, all right, Night King's dead, let's roll down to KL and just slash and dash, 2 dragons. No, it wasn't going to happen that easy, and we got to slap in the face of that this episode, which was great. Woe.
So our woe of the week, worst of all time of the week, who had the worst episode, we had Daenerys, Jaime Lannister, Missandei, RIP, and Ser Brienne of Tarth.
RIP for sure.
So this one is closer, and maybe by the time the poll runs out, we'll have a different winner. But for now, at 42% is Daenerys Targaryen.
Yeah.
So in second is Missandei at 38%. And then Jaime and Brienne are way back at 7 and 13, respectfully. So Daenerys Targaryen at 42%.
I think it's the rightful win. I mean, she, and I saw a list, this is actually a great tweet. It was like, since she was at her apex, the things that have happened to her, and it's, you know, it goes on and on and on. The Dothraki slashed up, halved. I don't know how there's half left. I mean, we saw most of them, if not all of them, go out, but they say half. In this episode, 2 dragons down. I mean, she loses a dragon, and we'll get into our nitpicking section. But I mean, would you side with that too, right? Daenerys having the worst episode. I mean, Missandei gets killed. It's tough to be worse than that. But in terms of like advancing agenda and things like that, Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with either one there. Again, it's always tough to argue with a character who dies. I mean, that's as worse as it gets. But for someone as important as Daenerys, as major as Daenerys, she lost another one of her children, lost a dragon, and just the way she lost it was kind of effortlessly on Euron's part, almost.
Like, yes.
Really, really weak performance there from Dany with her dragons. And obviously she lost Missandei, so
yes,
that hurts her. That's her best friend, her most loyal advisor. She's been with her since Astapor when she got the Unsullied.
Yes.
So they've been through a lot, and that's really going to hurt her. And this is also coming off of the aftermath of the Battle of Winterfell. Everyone's yes. celebrating Jon. The North is celebrating Jon and Arya Stark, and the wildlings are leaving. Like, she's losing support. John's gaining support.
Yes.
And
more importantly, her advisors.
Her advisors are talking about treason. Yes. You know, undermining her. And even her conversation with John, it didn't go the way she wanted.
No.
You know, John's like, I got to tell Sansa and Arya.
And he does.
He does. Sansa's happy about it. She's using it to her advantage. So, yeah, not a good
all
episode.
Over the board, she's getting smoked.
Just a lot of L's, not that large. You know, the large ones were losing Rhaegal and Missandei, but then the political L's of her
yes.
power, her grip on the throne is slipping.
It is slipping for sure, and a lot of it's out of her control, and some of it she doesn't even know about. I mean, as far as, you know, she doesn't know John. We don't see John say, hey, I'm going to tell them 100%, but we don't see that, and we don't see the fact that, you know, Tyrion and these backdoor conversations are being had, and we're getting a little Mad Queenie.
Yeah, and she has every right at this point to kind of go Mad Queen because
yes.
she's lost so much, and that might be what it takes to get rid of Cersei at this point.
Yes.
But Varys kind of calls her out on it, says, you know, don't become the thing you've always struggled to defeat.
Yes.
You know, don't become your father, don't become the Mad Queen. Like,
and I think she's seeing, like, I think what she's starting to see is, like, if she doesn't do that, she might not get what she wants.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, Machiavellian, like,
yes.
the end justify the means? Does getting the Iron Throne justify burning the city to the ground, killing innocents that, you know, don't deserve to die?
Yeah, I think she's getting, you know, if it was 40-60, now it's getting towards 60-40, where it's like,
mm-hmm.
especially after this, I mean, we saw the face after the Missandei death, rightfully so, shook as can be.
And, you know, if she does go through with that, the other Machiavellian quote is, you know, a leader would rather be feared than loved. Clearly, if she does that, she's going to be more feared than loved.
Yes.
And that's, she's not going to be loved at all, really. So that's
yes.
going to be tough.
And the other dichotomy is, if she does that and she's not loved, she has this guy waiting in the wings that is already loved and has a better claim than her for the throne.
And we're seeing it unfold before our eyes. He's gaining support.
Yes.
You know, every second of screen time, it seems he's gaining support. Whether
yes.
he knows it, whether she knows it or not, it's out there.
Yeah.
It's happening.
And it's almost like she wants to, you know, not rush it, but she just wants to get herself on that throne, secure the bag, and then go from there. Because she knows she has that stuff waning there. So, like, the one thing she wants to get done is, like, let's get on the Iron Throne. We'll figure that shit out. Where the chips fall, but it's looking tougher and tougher in terms of the support for those actions, for sure.
Yeah, so that kind of brings me to a major theme I wanted to touch on for this episode.
Let's
and
get thematic, dude.
And that was choices and decisions that characters had to make that will have major effects on how the rest of the series plays out.
The series.
So the first one is Jon and Daenerys. This is kind of two together, but they have this decision they have to make on what do we do moving forward with our relationship and with this knowledge that we have
mm-hmm.
about Jon being Aegon Targaryen. Because in the moment that they have on screen together, Daenerys is very aggressive with it that, you know, she loves Jon, she wants
yes.
to be with Jon, she wants it to be the way it was, she wants to forget that he ever told her this.
Yeah,
you know?
She says, I wish he never told me. Like,
And John, he has a choice. This is a choice that he can make, is as she kind of is ordering him, like, make Bran and Sam swear to secrecy, like, live out your life as Jon Snow. Like, we can do this. Like, it'll work.
It'll work.
So that's the choice she's making is, let's do this. Like, I want the Iron Throne. I want it to be back the way it was. And John has a choice here to, he can agree with her and pretend that this whole thing never happened and
yeah.
pretend that the life he's always lived is who he is and that there's no greater destiny for him.
Yeah.
Or he can choose to embrace that he is Aegon Targaryen, that he's a Targaryen and a Stark, and that he has a better claim than her. He has a major role to play in these next two episodes. So he later, and then this comes in with the next scene where the last of the Starks, where they have their little meeting.
Yes.
And Bran flat out says to him, it's your choice.
So Bran wasn't, you know, we got maybe worried a little bit about Samwell Tarly and his, you know, that was more episode one where he was getting pushy with, have you told her? Or maybe episode two as well. But the Bran man was not, he was not going to go babbling to anyone. So John did have a legit choice to say it or not, disclose or not.
So yeah, so John, yeah, Bran just says it's your choice. Like John, as in he would have kept it a secret if that's what John wanted. But John makes the choice. It's off screen, but we find out later.
Bran,
yeah,
Bran, you tell him.
Yeah, so we find out later that John told his family that he's Aegon Targaryen. His mother was Lyanna Stark. His father was Rhaegar Targaryen.
And
so
in John's defense, he's not looking for it to get out.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking his sister, his whatever they are now, but for them to swear on it, and apparently that means enough to him for him to be able to divulge it. So it's not like he's going babbling around town. That being said, he does make the choice to disclose.
Yeah, so cousins they would be, right? Cousins.
Yeah, cousins.
So he tells them, swear to secrecy even before he tells them.
Pinky promise.
We see how long that lasts. And that's the next choice we have is Sansa. So
yeah.
She makes the choice to tell Tyrion about Jon's lineage. We assume, again, this was also off screen, so we don't know exactly what was said word for word, but it seems the point has gotten across to Tyrion.
Yeah.
And she says to Tyrion, it's, you know, they're having this kind of dramatic political speech talk.
She's in Tyrion's grill.
Yeah.
You fear, you're afraid of her?
Yeah. And Tyrion is just like, look, I just want, you know, we need the North and Daenerys to coexist. We need to have a good relationship. That's when the realm thrives. That's when the Seven Kingdoms thrive.
Yep.
And Sansa's not having it, and Tyrion starts to walk away, and Sansa says, well, what if there's another? What if there's a better,
someone better?
Oh, man, what a great line. And
what? A terrible
so
line.
I love it. So because John's clearly, in her mind, is better, and in the mind of so many, he's better than her.
Yeah,
and,
but this, our boy, Ned Stark, took this to his grave. And she, you know, whatever it may have been, hours. We'll give her the benefit of the doubt. It was hours. It was still the same day. She just tells a Lannister, Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah.
A guy who she says two episodes ago, you're not as clever as you used to be. You know, she calling him out. And now it's, all right. It's unbelievable.
It is.
Talk about treason. It's family treason right there.
It is.
Brutal.
But she's doing this for, not for her, I mean, it is for her own gain, but she's doing it for the good of the North.
It's
for the good of the Stark family, for the good of Jon, because she sees the Jon and
the
Daenerys.
John,
I think it is. She sees the dynamic they have, and she, you know, she's just not a fan of Daenerys. So
I don't know. Well, we'll get into our nitpicking section in a few short moments here, but my nitpick, their distrust for Daenerys, I think it's overplayed a little bit. I think it's unwarranted to a certain extent. But continue on.
So the next characters that have huge choices to make in this episode, Varys and Tyrion.
Yes.
And again, we're kind of going down a chain reaction here of
yes.
Jon and Daenerys, Jon telling his family telling Tyrion, and then Tyrion and Varys talking about it. So Varys and Tyrion are talking treason. They're talking about supporting Jon instead
yes.
of Daenerys. They see the writing's on the wall. They see Daenerys is kind of the switch is
yeah.
flipping, like
yeah. it's flickering.
Yeah, like this could be Mad Queen territory. She's probably not doing what's right here.
Yeah,
Varys called her out on it, as he said he always would, and he says to Tyrion that, you know my motivations. I'll always put the realm first. And Tyrion's like, you know, what does that mean? What
yeah,
even is
bullshit.
The realm? Like,
yeah. It is a little.
He's kind of
meta.
He kind of plays both sides of the coin with that term.
He does.
But yeah, so this conversation they have. it one of the striking lines that Varys says is, you know, we both have a choice to make, and I hope we choose wisely.
Yeah.
So we don't see how it played out yet, but we definitely will next episode, and that's going to be a major factor in how the rest of the series plays out.
Varys, man. I mean, first of all, tip the cap to this guy. Not exactly in the best shape. He makes that swim off the... I mean, come on, this guy.
There's the theory that Varys is a merman. You ever hear that one?
Oh, yeah, I've heard
that
theory.
Wild.
Wild. I mean, those people were loving this episode, last episode then, because he made the swim for sure.
Missandei gets caught, Varys doesn't. Makes no sense. Unless he's a mermaid.
He does have a little less friction down low when he's surfing through the water
that's
there.
That's true.
That being said, I mean, he almost gets almost a little weird with it where, you know, he says, I will try and find the direct quote, but he says something to the fact, like, Tyrion says, like, please don't do anything to her, or, like, please, like, with something about
says,
her.
Says, like, you know, what should we do about her? And then there's just kind of an awkward silence between them.
And, yeah. he's like, non-committal on, like, that he won't do something that's anti-Danny.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, and we go back to Sophie Turner, you know, this season's full of betrayal. Maybe there's some more betrayal to come, whether it's from one of those two characters.
I think both of them are on the hot seat right now heading into next episode. But we can talk about
on the hot seat in terms of
sticking around any longer.
Really?
Yeah, but we'll talk about that on our preview pod a little
more. For sure. More analysis.
So, yeah, just another quick choice that was made. We have a very minor one was Arya not choosing Gendry. You know, and I don't really like this that much. I mean, yeah, that's who Arya is. She's not a lady. Like, yeah. She's a warrior. She's an assassin, ninja, whatever you want to call her.
Yeah.
Like, that's very much in character for her. But, I mean, come on. He's not asking you to be Sansa. He's not asking you to wear dresses. And he said that. He said, be my lady. But that's just the term. I think Gendry would be totally fine with you go ahead, be badass Arya.
Yeah, wear the pants.
I love that about you. Like, I think Gendry got screwed a little bit here. Yeah, but that was Arya's choice, and
Arya,
it's fitting for her character.
And a little more analysis here, Arya analysis. She says she has no plans on coming back.
Yeah, she makes the choice to go to King's Landing. She says she has unfinished business, just as the Hound says that. And neither of them plan on coming back.
None of them plan on coming back. That was something.
So does that hint at some sort of like suicide mission, or just that she's kind of wants to adventure the world more or something? Yeah. Like, just kind of like Frodo Bagginsy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Head back to Braavos, maybe change her face a little bit. No. But, yeah, it does, we'll talk preview for sure, but it does seem like maybe some suicide mission. Some kamikaze mission.
And speaking of suicide missions, that brings me to our last person making a choice is Jaime Lannister. So he has his intimate moment with Brienne. Then later he makes the choice to stay in the North, to stay in Winterfell, stay with Brienne.
Unfathomable, honestly.
Doesn't go south to help with the war, whatever. But then he finds out that Cersei has killed a dragon, and she's kind of even the score a little bit. And he makes the decision to leave Brienne, who's out in her robe, crying, pleading with him to stay with her. And, yeah, like, this scene was very strange.
This was...
So, Jaime, he's had this great character arc, this great redemption arc, and it's almost... It feels like it's complete, basically, with knighting Brienne 2 weeks ago, and...
Yeah, he would now have justifiably died last week.
Yeah, and, you know, him and Brienne are intimate, and now he's turning his back on her to go... He doesn't exactly say, but we know that he's going south to Cersei. We don't know if he's going to be with Cersei, to kill Cersei, to try to protect her, to try to protect their child. We don't know what his motivations are at the moment. All we know is that he says, you know,
I'm full of hate.
He talks about all the bad things he's done, says, I'm full of hate. So to me, it kind of seems like he's like, this is where like suicide mission comes in my mind. Like he's decided that he's not a good person. He's full of hate. Maybe he's like, I don't deserve to live, but I can go out a martyr. I can maybe kill Cersei or the Hound or the Mountain, or at least, you know, serve some sort of good.
But it's like he already did it. It's so weird. It's
exactly. Like, he doesn't have to do
it. It's like 10 steps forward and then like 5 steps back with this.
So, yeah. So
it was a very weird scene. That whole happening was just weird to me, I feel like.
And he didn't say anything about loving Cersei.
No.
Because, like, that was the big speech he gave to Edmure Tully back a couple seasons ago when they were taking River Run. He was like, I love Cersei. I've done all these bad things for Cersei. It's all for Cersei.
For Cersei.
He didn't say anything similar to that to Brienne. He just said that he's done bad things. Maybe it's implied that he did them for Cersei, but he doesn't say, like, I'm still doing these things for Cersei. Like, he doesn't say he's going for Cersei. So, I don't know. So that kind of wraps up our theme of choices that are going to
I want to hear you
set the table
just a little bit for the people.
So, all right, this next segment we're going to do nitpicking. All right, we're nitpicking.
We understand it's
some of the choices that are made by the showrunners, the writers, because there's just a lot to nitpick.
Yeah, there is a lot.
So the one major thing that sticks out to me from this episode,
yes,
is Euron killing Euron's actions on the ship. They kill a dragon very easily. They take Missandei and no one else apparently very easily, and
then they leave,
and Drogon's unscathed, and it's very convenient for the writers to be like, oh, by the way, and they say this on the after segment.
This is ridiculous.
They said, oh, Dany kind of forgot about the Iron Fleet, and they literally right before that scene is the War Council where they're talking about the Iron Fleet. So how can you say she forgot about them? I think it's a great play for Euron to be like, let's go to Dragonstone. That's probably where she'll be.
Yeah.
So like I can buy that a little bit. I buy that he's like the best pirate in the water. Like he's traveled around the world. Like I buy that, but I don't buy that Daenerys is this absent-minded, like to forget that this threat is out there.
And just to not, I mean, just like we're talking geographic, like they're, how are they not going to see him? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like we're getting into maybe like the dynamics too much, but like, see, they're just coasting along, blah, 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 blah.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's not like this was these ships were hidden or anything. Like, they're in the water. They're out there. Giant black sails. They're very visible.
Yes.
There's no reason for them to see her get shot, you know, fire and go 3 for 3 without her getting any sort of eyes on them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's up in the sky. I mean, if we're just talking, like, she's up in the sky, and, like, if this happened in, like, a big, brutal, like, sea battle, and, you know, the dragons are working hard, and, you know, and they did get picked off, that would make so much more sense than just, like, a blah, 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 boom, 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 dead. What?
In fact, I would have been fine if they were doing this just for the sake of, oh, we can't have Daenerys coming down with two dragons, then I would have been fine with them having Rhaegal die last episode with the battle with Viserion. That would have made sense. Like, oh, yeah, dragon v. dragon, clearly one's going to win.
Yes.
That would have made sense, but even like the scorpion, the ballistas, whatever you want to call them, like they were just created apparently by Qyburn, and now all of a sudden they're mass produced and everyone is so good at them. Like, and they're working to perfection. They don't have like dragons to practice shooting at.
I know, right?
They don't have dragon scales to see if it pierces enough with the right kind of velocity. Like,
it's tough.
There's a lot to nitpick with that scene.
And this gets to like a macro nitpick, which is like shock, do things for shock value.
Yes. And so
go ahead. I mean, this is like
they admitted that Arya killing the Night King was for shock value. Got it. Over and done with.
Turn the page. It's tough to swallow.
Yeah. Turn the page. We're moving past it. But I'm worried that they're going to continue doing that the way as the series wraps up. And I'm also worried that they're going to continue with their plot device of having someone come out of nowhere to save the day.
Yeah, that is my... We'll talk preview on that, but that is a huge concern of mine. You're shaking your head. I mean, it is tough.
Because I just don't want to see it happen again. And it seems like the opportunity is absolutely
there. It's so there. It's so there. It's tough. We'll talk in the preview. A few more nitpicky things.
Some more nitpicking. This is some smaller things, but Ghost.
Yes.
He gets no kind of goodbye from Jon.
Bullshit,
you know,
man.
Jon gets a big hug from Tormund, and they have a nice speech. Big hug from Sam. They have a nice going away speech.
Where's Sam going? Oh, we'll talk preview, but
Sam, he says he's staying in Winterfell,
That's what I'm saying.
But in my mind, he should probably be going to Horn Hill, which is his house, his castle, his family's house. So, I mean, he would be like the Lord of Horn Hill. But anyway.
You have any problem with Tormund and the boys leaving?
No, I mean
the crew, I should say.
It makes sense. They were only there because it was a fight for survival. They're free folk. They don't kneel to anyone. They don't kneel to Daenerys. And I feel like
if I
have a problem with it, my problem would be that Daenerys is okay with it happening because
yes,
that's not her character. She wants everyone to bend the knee to her.
And also, she just saved their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of. I think it's. I don't know. It's. Why not just have Tormund die next week if you're gonna send him off like this, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. And so back to Ghost.
Yeah.
John just kind of says, "Oh yeah, Ghost, take him with you. He'll be better off in the North." There's no sort of emotional attachment. There's no hug. There's no pet. Not even a pet.
I'm a good boy.
Yeah. Like they've been through so much.
He's done so much.
He was like John's right-hand man. He saved so many people. He was always there for John. Even when John's corpse was laying on a table in Castle Black, Ghost was laying there with him. So,
it's like there's some things where we can kind of turn a blind eye to because of pace. We don't have time to see him. But like, how are we seeing some things and we're not seeing like other things? That's like the like. Just give me like a 50-second, you know, Ghost goodbye.
Yeah, and I mean, I get the logistics of it from like a filming standpoint.
CGI,
that it's CGI, and like the actual Ghost dog was never on set for this season or anything. Like,
yeah.
I get it, but still, give me something.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, like,
we got him riding dragons. I think he could have pet a dog.
Exactly, and we're so anti fan service, but we're okay with this potential fan service for sure. Anything else we want to pick before we shut down? I like. You know, if as long as you disclose you're being nitpicky, I think it's fine to be a little nitpicky, for sure.
In terms of nitpicking, So they
why not kill Tyrion?
Could have killed Tyrion. Cersei has no reason not to. The only reason is that Qyburn's out there, but he's totally expendable.
Exactly.
Another nitpick that I have, and this is back to Euron, so I won't go into it too much, but so he scoops up Missandei, holds her hostage. I'm nitpicking from episodes ago.
Go.
Because this just makes it so much worse. That Theon saved Yara without anyone blinking an eye.
Yes.
How is that possible? Look at how good of a pirate Euron is.
Yes.
Look at how good he is. He took this prisoner, like, he killed a dragon. How do they let Yara just escape?
Yes.
It's mind-blowing.
It is. And we make a little excuses for peace, but then we get things like the Kumbaya crew and things like that, and it's like, why can't we see, like, why couldn't we see, and this will be a little nitpicky for me, but like, why can't we see Bran tell Arya and Sansa about Jon? Or why can't we see Sansa tell Tyrion about Jon? Or why can't we see what Bran said to Tyrion before the battle? Or why can't we get more of the war council before the battle? It's like, the major things, they're almost like just like doing them off screen, and we're just left to kind of assume after like what happens next.
Yeah,
why not show us that?
I get some of it, like the conversations.
That's
you know,
a show, though.
Disclosing
now.
Information. I get that they're not showing it. There's one you assume that they just that it went as planned, but then there's also the doubt in your mind that oh maybe it didn't. Maybe there was something else that was said. Maybe there was some sort of curveball.
I feel like it's almost a little cheap, though.
A little.
I don't know. And that's like what we I would have loved to see Arya and Sansa react to hearing about Jon. Or Tyrion react to hearing about Jon. Or, you know, Bran telling more of his story. We just don't get it. We don't get it. I know one listener out there, Alex Cancel, has a huge problem with no one even saying, you know, she obviously, Arya Stark gets the Night King, you know, cheers. But there's no, besides the Funeral of Pyres and all that, there's no real bow put on killing the Night King, which was a huge, it was half the show.
Yeah, I feel like between Sam and Bran and Jon and Arya, there should have been some sort of powwow just to be like, this is what we just witnessed. This is what happened and why. Like,
yeah, we're just left to assume because Daenerys gives her, you know, a big cheers in the hall that everyone understands what happened.
Yeah.
It's tough. A lot of off-screen stuff that I think we're left to want to see more of. Anything else before we shut it down?
I miss Ghost already.
I miss Ghost.
That's about it.
Overall, more than a table setter. I mean, it was a table setter, yes, but...
But this was back to Thrones. This was kind of back to what they do in terms of the political power plays, the closed doors conversations. This was back to...
Whereas some people think it's at
this
its
is
best,
the sweet spot, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, so I think that's a good 30-minute wrap, a little more in-depth analysis. We didn't do any preview, which you know means you got to check out the preview pod coming up here in a couple of days. And we'll talk, you know, what we think about going moving forward. But yeah, putting a bow on episode 4.
The Last of the Starks was the title.
The Last of the Starks was the title. Yeah, we normally mention that. We didn't get much in the trailer, but yeah, we'll talk that in the preview for sure. But The Last of the Starks, be very interesting to see what happens moving forward. All good. Put a bow in the episode, which we love to do here on the analysis pod of the week. For Tim Curry, this is Matt Datz. Check out the preview pod before episode 4, or before episode 5. And then, as always, Sunday night, join us right after Thrones.